It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is episode 70 of Big Fight Weekly, taking over Stu's wrestling podcast, episode 167. And I have got my co-host and cousin waiting in the wings to come on. We said we were going to do more shows. So yeah, Chris, Big Fight Weekly back, episode 70, 2024, mate. Yeah, I'm going to go straight into it. Duplessis versus Strickland. And I've read mixed stuff online. There's been varying opinions on it, mate. So what was your opinion of the fight?
I took it as, you know, I mean, I thought Duplessis was fantastic. He really made Strickland work. You know, I mean, I think Strickland had a hard going of controlling it like he did with Adesanya. And you saw in the Adesanya fight, completely controlled the fight. Duplessis was just on top of him, pushing him. But what I will say is, as much as Duplessis did fantastic in the whole fight, I still think Strickland was in control. Those jabs, it was managing to nail him with those jabs constantly. And, you know, the cut above his eye was, you know, it was Duplessis coming in and headbutting him. It wasn't a punch. There was slowdown video of it. When he comes in against the cage, he comes in quite close. And then obviously the head hits above the elbow, the eyebrow. And yeah, that, I mean, I still think, like, you know, Strickland controlled the fight. I don't think he lost. I think if you really, really want to push to stats wise, I think.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Strickland won the fight for, I'd say, you know, say 49-48.
Personally. And there was obviously a split decision, which has caused controversy. Chael Sonnen my friend and yours when it comes
to... Oh, yeah, good old Jail.
He's all right after the event. He can speak about it, can't he? And he was going mad about Dana and Joe Rogan, about what they thought. You know, he was like, there's no way. He said he had it 5-0 or 4-1.
To Dukas?
I think so, yeah, from what I read.
I was going 3-2 to Strickland, and only just. I mean, Strickland didn't run away with it. He wasn't in control. Like I said, if we go back to Adesanya fight, he was in complete control of the whole fight. You know what I mean? Dukas de Vries made him work and work and work and pushed a pace. You know what I mean? He took a hell of a lot of straight jabs to that nose and to the eyes. You saw the eyes.
Yeah, yeah. It was a barbell round by his eye and his head. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I saw it as a very close fight, but Strickland still controlling. I think he had the odd round when his eyes got split with the headbutt, and it, you know, as it can do, because it was right above the eye and it was going in the eye, so you are going to be disorientated or a bit of blurred vision, you know. And he did probably lose that round, but if I went all in all, I still think Strickland won the fight.
We got a comment here as well. Lewis Young up in Scotland there, Chris. Hello, Lewis. I know you always watch us when we're on. So, yeah, hope you're doing well up there, mate. And maybe your thoughts on it, Lewis. I'm assuming you've seen it. Yeah, just controversy, I think, Chris, would be the word here. But you leave it in the hands of the judges.
Well, that's just the thing.
I know it's the old cliche, but again, it is, isn't it? But it's not necessarily that you're going to... They're hard guys. They're hard guys, aren't they, to get a stoppage. You've really got to go some, haven't you, to get a stoppage?
I think it's just one of them. You know what I mean? Okay, it's not, again, a great outcome for Strickland. I think he goes back, you know what I mean? And you can rebut this fight, have a rematch, put them in again and see what happens the second time round. You know what I mean? And maybe we'll get a finish. But really, like, I think Strickland's not really a fighter that finishes many people. You know what I mean? He controls fights, yes, but he racks the points up.
Now, there's been questions. I've listened to other podcasts and stuff. A British guy, the name of his show eludes me. He says, when you see what he does in round one and he does it in round three, I think he was basically getting at Strickland's very same in his style. Is that a factor to you? Does that not help him? And to be fair, he stopped. He was good when he was getting taken down, in fairness to Strickland. He was getting Strickland, up, wasn't he, from the takedowns as well. Just to make, you know, people, I'm making an argument here. You know, it's not just about him striking all the time. He did well when he was getting taken down as well.
I think he got thrown off by it. I don't think he expect Dukas to, you know, to take him down. I mean, he's a big dude, is Dukas. You know what I mean? You could say he quite easily make 205 if he really wanted to. You know what I mean? He's big for the 185 division. Yeah, he did pop right back up. But that just shows you, I mean, Strickland's trained with some really good wrestlers. He does in his own gym. Don't forget, he also trained with Hazmat Shamayev not long ago. There's a lot of back and forths between them since the fight anyway. But you know, shock horror. But in relation of the fight, because it was close, and I think a lot of people can choose one way or the other. And we've been through a few of these fights when we've been doing this podcast where it's very close, where you could go either way. I had my head on Strickland winning a fight. Again, very close. I probably still would have gone with split, but I would have still gone Strickland's way.
The other way.
You can put them back together and say, August sometime or September, throw him in again. Gives Adesanya still enough time to decide what he wants to do. And you can have him come back at the end of the year and have the winner versus him.
DDP's not daft, is he? I want Izzy because he knows that's where he's going to make the most money. He's going to pull in the most chunk of change. I know, obviously, I know he's not just governed by money. It's a fight he's going to want as well. But that is where you're going to make the most money, isn't it? Fighting him. That's where your biggest payday is going to come from.
But everyone who's, you know, a champion, who's been a champion and in that division, you know, there's only really two big names who've controlled it for the longest. Anderson Silva being one, as you well know. That's, you know, he cemented the 185 division, and the 185 division will always be stuck with Anderson Silva. But Izzy, after it, defended the title almost the same amount. So, yeah, he is the money fight. When we spoke about Izzy, I recommended he went back up. I went up to 205, really, me personally, and did it properly, because there isn't really anything for him. Mm. But that fight does make sense against DDP. Go for that. And then see where he wants to go after that. Personally, I think he goes up a division. Because who does he face after that? Yeah, he can rematch Strickland, yeah. I just think Strickland's style is a bit too awkward for Izzy. Because he can, you know, flat down all that fancy pants. And, you know, meaning his sort of way he sort of strikes, Izzy can't get through that and can't get close enough. So that is, as you say, it is the money fight.
Hello, Isaac. Hello, lads. Glad to see you both at it again. Yeah, it was a quick one. It's a quick one, but we are going to cover. We'll have several bits to cover. Chris, I've seen today that Aspinall, they'd offered the fight to Stipe in April. He's turned it down. What are your thoughts on that? Just going into heavyweight division, Norman Thomas.
Yeah, of course.
What's your thoughts on that? Do you think that is? He's not going to lie about it, is he? But is it just Stipe's been out of the game too long, and he's not going to come back?
I think it's the people that he's, I wouldn't say frightened, because no fighter is frightened, but facing Tom Aspinall, and I think what Miocic beat Ngannou, what, almost 4 years ago now, and that's his last win. Oh, obviously, sorry, Daniel Cormier, and that again was years ago, and then he's been out the cage since then, you know, when he lost the title. He's, what, 40, 41, 42 now. It's a lot of wear and tear on the body. Tom Aspinall's up and coming. His style is what people want at heavyweight. You know, it's not just a banger. He can do it all. And that's a scary prospect for anybody up against him. And he proved it, you know, to win the interim. He can bang hard as well.
I'd love it to get sorted, but, I mean...
It's going to be Miocic and Jones. I think that's the legacy fight there. And both of them retire after that fight. I'll tell you that now. And I feel sorry for Tom Aspinall, because I'd want to fight the best, and John Jones is the best. So that's where, you know, that's a name you want on your list. But no, he's not going to, unfortunately for him, he's not going to get that fight, because I still think they'll run away from him.
Who will he have? Obviously, he's not going to fight. He's not going to fight three times, is he? Very, very, very seldom do you see a champion fight three times. It'll be it'd be twice, wouldn't it, over the year? I'm right in thinking that. I know it has happened. I know it's in history, but who for Aspinall? Because he's going to want to fight.
It depends who's up there, really. You know, does he want to go and get that win back from Curtis Blaydes, maybe? Because, you know, me and you both have spoke about that on many times at arm's length about how annoyed we were.
It's gutting that you lose a fight with an injury. It's crazy. It should just be a draw. You know,
and then there's Pavlovich, but he's already knocked him out. And yeah, it's just no too point. Soon.
It was too emphatic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit of a shame that nobody... Oh, it's just a shame.
They were the two, though, yeah? They were the two that were marked for the top.
Yeah.
So when you put the two together before a title fight and one knocks off the other, this is now going back to like Ryan Bader and John Jones when they were riding that train as at 205. Mm. Oh, yeah, 205. And John Jones derailed Ryan Bader. Mm. And then you're taking away a potential fight with, you know, potential up and comers. It, unless you've got, well, it was still stacked with 205 at the time, but heavyweight, if you're losing two of the mainstays in the two big names of the division, and you look down and think, is there a big enough name then for Tom Aspinall, obviously, to fight against for the title? Because if they both retire, he's obviously going to have to fight someone the title.
How about Cyril? I know, obviously, when he's gone down the pecking order. If I'm thinking of somebody, because they've not fought, and he needs a fight, and it's going to be a test, regardless of Cyril losing to John Jones. I'd put Gan up there for him at the moment, just so he stays active. He lost enough time with the injury. He's going to want to fight, isn't he? As champion, as interim champion, you know.
Well, of course, because as you said, he's been away from the injury. He had a couple of fights, didn't he? And he came through easily. You know, he took the fight on two weeks' notice, wasn't it? You know, against probably the most feared heavyweight in Pavlovich, who knocks people out, you know, by just blowing with his fist. You know, and he dealt with that perfectly. Movement, speed, head movement, and then his combination to finish the fight was brilliant. You know, and his nerves must have been jangling because, you know what I mean, he's fighting for a title here and it was interim, and but he still did it. I think Ciryl Gane would be an interesting one because the styles are quite similar in how they move and how they use how they use sort of the striking games and the kicking. But I just think Tom Aspinall's got is more clever of what he uses. So he sets up things and makes traps. And I think Ciryl Gane is, you know, very particular, isn't he? He's like, he works things out. Tom's not going to let him work things out. And if he takes Tom down, because Ciryl Gane likes a bit of, you know, takedowns, he's going to get submitted again. Absolutely. Tom's like, people don't realise with Tom Aspinall, he's got an incredible jiu-jitsu game. This is why I'm not worried about him if he fought against John Jones and got taken down by John Jones, because, again, this is bread and butter, and this is what we like.
Isaac's just, we will go over to the boxing. Yeah, it was, I know he wasn't happy. You had Mayer winning that fight, didn't you? And I heard like six rounds to four, but that's the boxing. We will skirt over the boxing because we want to talk about Ngannou and Joshua obviously fighting. But Frankie Edgar, Chris, going into Hall of Fame, I'm assuming during International Fight Week.
Yeah.
Legend, absolute legend of the game. You know, when you think all the defences he made and what a patron, what a guy he was for the UFC. And the fights were so good at the time, weren't they? But great news for him going into the Hall of Fame.
True underdog, don't forget, when he fought BJ Penn in Dubai that time. True underdog. You know what I mean? I remember sitting there watching it in, you know what I mean? I think it was one of the earliest ones we had for a long, long time, because it was in Dubai, and, you know, obviously good times when it's in Dubai because the time worked really well for us over here. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I was shocked because BJ Penn was at that time. He wasn't going to come down. He was still quite, you know, competitive, and he was still beating people. He wasn't far off just beating Diego Sanchez when Diego Sanchez was on a tear. And BJ Penn just upset the odds. And, you know, the Gray Maynard fights were fantastic. He stayed relevant for as long as possible as he can. You know, he had two fights with Jose Aldo when Jose Aldo was in his prime. But obviously couldn't topple Aldo until, obviously, the notorious Conor McGregor did that himself. But, you know, he's done a lot. He's fought the best. And he's fought a lot of up-and-comers as well. So, you know what I mean? He's well-deserved Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. Who else would you like to see go in? Maybe, like a fighter. And then, obviously, they have like a rivalry, a match wing, don't they, as well, that they'll pick. So, yeah, just I'd like to just see who would you like to go in that's not in there? Who do you think's deserving? Well, there's many that are deserving.
Oh, of course.
But one off the top of your head, do you think, you know, they'll potentially go in this year?
This year?
Yeah.
Depends on who retires, doesn't it? Because if we say John Jones and Miocic do fight this year and they both retire, I imagine them both go in. You know what I mean? John Jones, no matter what he's done, yeah, and he's done some awful things and, you know, it's ruined his career towards the end of it, which is frustrating. But you got to say he's guaranteed Hall of Famer because what he did was no one else ever did. You know, remember how old he was when he beat Shogun? All the rivalries he made, you know, Rashad Evans, Rampage Jackson, and what he did to Machida. Machida wasn't, you know, someone you just choke out and just drop on the floor. Okay, you should have done that really, but hey-ho. But, yeah, and Miocic the same, because Miocic has defended the title more than everyone in the division. I still personally think if Cain Velasquez didn't get injured, he would have surpassed. But, and he's another one that should be in the Hall of Fame. I think, you know, forget what's going on, you know, in his personal life. Obviously, we can't say it. But what he did for the division, look what he did to Brock Lesnar. Everyone was scared of Brock Lesnar. And he destroyed Brock Lesnar without even, you know, having to dig down to beat him.
That'd be good. And it'd be interesting to see who goes in. And obviously, they'll pick a rivalry, a fight as well to go in there.
Well, yeah, but with rivalries at the moment, it's the one that really sticks out, really.
It's not like things get heated, don't they? But I think there's been more heated tension, as you say, over the years, isn't it? There's been some real hatred. Sometimes you're looking at it, this is like pantomime, they're putting this on. Whereas you can tell when it's genuine heat, can't you? Between two guys, a lot of the times it does come through the camera, doesn't it? And, you know, there has been that. But yeah, I agree with you. It has really been a rivalry where...
Yeah. And then you haven't had consecutive fights between them both. You know what I mean? There hasn't been, You know, when you look at Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva, you know, Conor McGregor, Khabib only had one, but there was so much shite that went into that. You know what I mean? Great, Herreno, Frankie Edgar, I mentioned a minute ago. That is a Hall of Fame worthy rivalry. There's so many, you know what I mean? You go back to Tito and Chuck, but I know they're already in there. Well, I don't think Tito's probably been erased now by Dana White, but again. But there hasn't hit that height. You know, it's hard. Maybe you say Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor, right? Maybe, but it's a difficult one.
He was getting in the right tiz, wasn't he, with Gareth A. Davis? I'd seen a clip, I think it's a few months old, maybe. No one, I got told December, then I got told April. Conor was saying about not getting fights and stuff like that. Well, then he put it to him, well, you're going to get back in the boxing ring. And his ears pricked up then, didn't they?
Yeah, but then he's calling out the likes of KSI and you think, oh, mate.
You don't need to, there's no need for you to do it, is there? No. It's not even for financial gain because of how much money he's already made. He doesn't need to do it, does he? You know, and it's a nothing fight that, isn't it? You'd have all the shit beforehand. But
yeah, great. But you had all the shit beforehand in a Tommy Fury one, and how fucking boring wisdom and them two, touch gloves. Man, Conor McGregor's not even the same weight as KSI. And it's like, again, it's no point. Like, I think he is getting pissed around a bit. I think, you know what I mean? Yeah. He keeps saying he's fighting, and then Dana might say no. I don't think he's going to main event UFC 300. But you never know with UFC, they could curveball it. But I just don't think at the moment his star power, as much as it is massive, or people want to see him in the main event. I'd rather see a title fight, a big fight. You know, so it's a difficult one. I think we'll see him before the end of the year. I do think we'll see him at the end of the year, but I don't think we'll see him after that.
Surely it's not going to be Michael Chandler.
I think that's probably the only fight. Or maybe let's switch it up and let's do Paddy versus Connor.
Oh my God.
I don't think he's dropped down that much yet. But if he was to stay in UFC, I don't think that, and he lost, say, against Chandler, I don't think Paddy's that far away from fighting Connor McGregor. If he was to stay and he lost to Chandler.
I did like all the shit with Tony Ferguson before. I'm you little fart. Fucking. You know,
he did well, Tony Ferguson, to be fair. Paddy, I mean, when we spoke about it, Paddy just, you know what I mean? He blew his load and all that in that first round, trying to get him out there. Mm-hmm. But he alluded that to himself. He said, like, you know, we went for the finish and he went too hard with it. But, you know, Tony, obviously, we know now he's been released. But then, you know, I think he should just stop now and go into coaching. He doesn't need any more head trauma. But the mentality and people like him and, like, you know, Jorge Masvidal, Nick Diaz, they're just warriors, aren't they? So they'll go find something else to do.
What a run of wins he had. And, you know, it was Khabib, you know, it was on, it was off. It was like, that never happened, did it? But then now, becoming a journeyman, isn't it? And getting stuck in it, like you say. And then there's like a load of losses now where when he was beating everybody, you know, I'm just trying to think how many years ago, his record, his resume at the time, He was one of the top guys, wasn't he? But like the fight never happened for him. Unfortunately,
three times.
Unfortunately, I mean, I think he would have lost, but that was the one, wasn't it, that they were pulling for, because obviously both guys were going hell for leather in their respective matches, weren't they?
It would have been great to see. I don't think, you know, because they always. I remember when they're both, you know, as you say, really hot and they were beating everyone. Well, Khabib beat everyone anyway, but so was Tony. In I think the worry was, oh, Tony's going to be the guy that beats Khabib. I don't think so. Look, Tony at that point was very, very good standing up, and he had his Darce chokes and he was difficult on the ground. It still wouldn't have mattered to Khabib because the pressure of Khabib is what isn't just the wrestling that beats you with Khabib, it's the constant pressure. And, you know, some fighters just can't deal with that, and which you saw when they fought them.
Absolutely. Moving on to boxing, Chris. I'll just get us into the boxing.
Yeah.
So obviously, Ngannou, because since we were last doing the show, it was last month, was it December when we came on?
Yeah.
Obviously, it wasn't announced at that time. It was a bit in March. Obviously, Ngannou ranked in the WBC, as we've said before, and he's got Anthony Joshua. But Anthony Joshua says all the guys that he's fought, that Fury's fought, he's dismantled. But I don't know with this one. I think Ngannou is going to be considering it's only his second pro boxing match.
Two of the biggest in Britain.
It's going to be as dry as he thinks. It could go the distance, couldn't it?
You don't know how much, you know what I mean, Ngannou's put in since the Fury fight and how much confidence that fight alone has, you know, elevated his sort of career in boxing, because it can do. Because, you know, in all fairness, I said he won. You really haven't told me what you thought.
I thought you'd have to say, I thought he edged it with what you know, what transpired. But
yeah,
Fury got it. But, you know, you've lost, but you've ended up in the top 10 of the WBC. It's to be fair to him, you know, because that was the worry, wasn't it? It was like, well, how's he going to be boxing stance in a boxing ring? And he silenced a lot of people, I think. And really? Fury didn't take him seriously enough. And I'm not... Ngannou did fantastic. I'm not dismissing that. I'm not making that an excuse. That was on Fury, you know, for allowing that to happen when he should have been on his A game a bit more than he was, wasn't he? Well, he was well off.
But it's embarrassing as well, though, isn't it? You know what I mean? You've just gone from squeaking past, you know, this MMA guy... who, again, with all MMA fighters that come over to boxing, get completely ridiculed. And his two former UFC fighters have gone into boxing, have pushed certain people very, very close. So maybe the tide is changing a bit. I'll put this one to you, though. So, you know, Joshua's going to run through Ngannou. Okay, apparently now. Who hits harder?
I think Ngannou, mate, to be... In all honesty, and it's...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The stats are there to prove it as well, aren't they? And Joshua did put people away, but I think, yeah, again, I think that's going to be the worry, isn't it? It's going to be in the back of his mind. If he uncorks one, it will be good night, won't it? And he looked really good. And do you know what? They weren't going to pay him what he wanted, and he's gone and done it, and he's earning big bucks, isn't he? Now he's earning huge money, and it's back to back fights on huge money for the guy. So
yeah,
you can't knock him, mate. You can't knock him for it. He wanted more than six figures in the UFC.
Yeah, and
he's
he wanted to box.
Yeah,
then it's just the thing is, it's like, just let him box. It's good for the brand. You think if you're still of the UFC now, and you just did that fight with Fury, people immediately, you're taking him over to UFC to see what this guy does in MMA, though you don't really need to have a look that far. Just go on YouTube and you'll see him, knocking out Alistair Overeem's head into the fucking, you know, next fucking universe. You know what I mean? The guy can take a punch. And don't forget, like, obviously the gloves and the boxes are different, but, you know, he's taking punches from very heavy hitters, you know, when he has been caught and he's run through it. I'm not saying anyone can hit as hard as Joshua in UFC, other than Ngannou himself. But he went four rounds with Fury. As you say, maybe Fury didn't take it too seriously. It might have been maybe different if there's some implication on the line. But he dropped him. I'm not saying, you know, Fury's been dropped quite a fair bit by heavy hitters, hasn't he? And you know, it's no shock when he gets dropped in a way. But, you know, he put a good flag for MMA, you know, in the middle of the boxing ring that day. And I think if people think Joshua's going to come in there and hit him once and he's going to, you know, chicken dance and then fall to the floor, no. I think Joshua must be careful with him.
Absolutely. I tell you what, he's looked better though, Joshua.
Yeah, he did against Valen.
I've got to be fair. He was uncorking. He was uncorking punches. He was having a go at Valen. Because, you know, Valen, as we alluded to and we've said, Fury had a hard night's work with him, didn't he? It was questionable that the fight could have been stopped. I know we've said about the cut time and time again on this show, so I won't make too much about that. But he looks better, and I think Ben Davison will help him. I think he's got to just stick with Ben Davison now, Joshua. I think he's changed trainers too many times. But it seems to me that Ben Davison knows him well. And the confidence was gone, wasn't it, after Usyk? But hopefully, you know, he's not as, he hasn't looked as gun shy in more recent fights, has he?
But that's the good thing, is, and he's a very, you know, he got like a football player striker, as they say, isn't it? Confident striker. He's a confidence style boxer, and he needs his confidence, doesn't he? He needs people behind him in a way to say, yes, you can do it, because he lets those demons in. And if you see him when he goes gun shy and he doesn't want to throw those heavy hits and he just wants to box and just jab and win by points, you know, you're opening yourself up to a world of people slagging you off then, aren't you? Because people want to see Joshua being what he used to be and go in there and hit a missile at someone's chin. You know what I mean? That's what people knew him for. But, you know, when you are losing against people like Usyk, it is going to take a lot of out of you because he's too good, you know.
Did you see about YouTube, the YouTubers, what His Excellency was saying? There'll be no fights like that in Saudi Arabia now. Not on his watch. He's totally coming away from the celebrity element. You know, they've had fights in Saudi.
They had Fury and Jake Paul, didn't they?
I was watching an interview with him, and like, you know, they know now, don't they? Because they've got all the promoters together for the pro-ranked fighters. He just said there won't be cards of that nature. So, I mean, they're going to make good money doing it, aren't they, with Misfits and stuff like that. That'll carry on. Yeah. But they won't be getting gargantuan Saudi money. You know, he was adamant about that.
But that's good, and it's good for sport, because if they can continue getting these fights that everyone's always wanted together and continue doing it, people are going to switch back on. You know, and I mean heavyweight for, you know, I'm not saying the lower divisions, because most fights in the lower divisions do come together. People have always loved heavyweights because, you know, obviously we all know what comes with heavyweights. But they've never, you know, in the last how many years now, would you say you've had to wait for these fights to be put together? You know, I'm not saying Joshua Ngannou, because that's completely different. But I imagine if Fury gets past Usyk, they're going to work really hard on getting Joshua and Fury to fight there as well.
They have to get that done. I mean, there'll be enough time now for it to happen. You know, if it's like next autumn, say.
Yeah.
If they give them that space just to go, you know, have a break and then go back in. It's working perfectly, isn't it? Because obviously we've got February, March for the two fights.
Yeah.
And then they can, I'm sure that'll be, you know, all being the results go the way that both guys want, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That would be what would be happening. I'll tell you what I did like as well, when they were saying about this 5-on-5, Matchroom versus Queensbury, Hearn versus Warren, and they were saying about doing that, I thought that was a good idea.
Well, you know what, and they've both got history of each other, haven't they? So they can build that up, you know, at the same time. And and this should have been done ages ago, Stuart. It's a bit of wrestling, isn't it? Where it's like SmackDown versus Raw, sort of, you know, like that sort of thing. Yeah. But you're putting your best against his best. And I think it's intriguing. PFL have just done that with Bellator, because obviously they bought Bellator and they've got an event where it's PFL champions versus the Bellator champions. Okay, the names aren't massive, but there's some really good fights there. You're intrigued by it. So things like that, do it. But stop making people wait so fucking long to do it. You know what I mean? Just do it, and you'll get the people paying or whatever they do to watch it. And people will fall in love with it again.
This is it. Yeah, it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. Looking forward to it. Anything to add before we go, Chris? Anything you'd like to bring up?
Didn't Isaac want to talk about?
Oh, Jonas and Mayer, yeah. Well done,
you'll
Chris,
for remembering that. You'll have to lead this one, mate. I didn't watch it.
Would have had a go at me if I hadn't brought this up after pulling up the comment before. So, yeah, questionable again. I think Mayer was outboxing it earlier on and into the middle rounds. But I think Jonas, whatever the judges had seen, it was a split, wasn't it? But obviously, the one judge that had Mayer winning, it was a longer, you know, she was ahead more rounds on that card than what Jonas was on the two that she'd won on. But I've heard like some people saying it was Mayer's 6-4 over the 10. Again, I think Jonas did well, but Mayer, Mayer did control it. You know, she's naturally the bigger fighter. It's questionable again. It's judging, Chris, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to go back to what happened in the UFC in the main event. So it's similar. But Jonas has done well. But again, a lot of people had Mayer winning it, and I know Isaac wasn't very happy about it.
Just put them back in again, then, isn't it? You don't mean things are this close.
To be fair, I think that is what's going to happen. the second fight, and then obviously if they need the rubber match as a third.
Yeah.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Well, unless someone gets knocked out conclusively, and then, you know, I mean, that sort of ends it really. And so the only way you'd put them back together is if one, say, got on a big run and the other one was champion again and they sort of met again. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch it. You knew more than me, but obviously we know about judges' decisions and them being farcical quite often. Again, just don't leave it in the judges. Just go and knock the person out if you can.
In Jonah's defence, she did box well late on. I think that's what's got her through with those two judges. But right. It was close. It was a close fight. You know, she was having a go. The shots, you know, they were both getting shots off. It was good. It was a good fight. It was a good fight, to be fair. You know, it's good. And it's good seeing the women headlining. You know, we see it more and more now, don't we?
Because they've been some really good fighters out there.
A good crowd in Liverpool. But again, you see, I think it's... I still see empty seats, and I think it's because of pricing, Chris. I do think pricing's gone a bit out of control.
Yeah, and that's for everything, though. It's not, you know, I mean, that's not just sports events. I mean,
why not fill these frigging stadiums? Because they're making money from the broadcasters. Mm-hmm. It's the same with WWE, Chris. You know, you're talking 4,000 or 5,000 for ringside at a WWE event now. And
who's got that kind of money now?
The working man can't do it. He can't take his kids. You know, again, with the UFC, you've said about the prices going up.
Well, and it's supposed to be one in Manchester, Stuart. I mean, I'm interested, but the likelihood of getting tickets before the touts take them anyway, you're priced out.
Yeah. Again, on top with that as well, because of the touts. So it's expensive anyway. And then the bastards get all the 6 tickets, don't they?
Yeah.
I'm all about this photo identification thing where they can't be sold on, which they've done with Glastonbury. Why can't they just implement this now? We've got this
entirely. Yeah, I totally agree.
Do it across the board. Do it across the board. But, you know, even a nosebleed seat now, Chris, for that. And, you know, you'd want to be in the arena. I'm not disputing that, the atmosphere. But, again, like we've said, you know, lads were on phones at those UFC events in the O2. Mm. Like, you know, you're all going to film a little bit here and there, aren't you? But
yeah, no, of course you are.
You're there to watch the fights and you get a whole different vibe, don't you, being there in person and watching it on the TV.
Well, you're taking away the commentary. You're not sitting there and being... I'm not saying that the commentators... I'm not going to say the names away because we know all the commentators, but people can get lost in what they're saying and agreeing. And really, when you take the commentators out and you listen to it, and watching it, sorry, without any influence of anybody talking, I feel like you make your mind up a bit more easier and you're not easily influenced by, you know, oh my God, you think, shit, bloody hell, but nothing's actually happened. You know what I mean? You see things a bit more clearly, but nothing. And as you say, the atmosphere, the British, the Irish, the Scottish, you know, the Welsh are starting to get there, but they always bring a banging card. Then they're very loud, they're very, you know, passionate.
Would you do a PFL? Would you go to a PFL? Would that interest you? Would you just don't want to go to the Premier organisation?
I'd go to any. Hmm. You know, there's good fights everywhere. Every organisation.
Cage Warriors, for that matter. You know, you're going to see up and coming people, aren't you? I know you'd enjoy every level of MMA.
I think, you know, we look at Cage Warriors. Cage Warriors is like the championship to the PFLs and the UFC.
It's been very good. It's been very fruitful for guys, hasn't it? As well as a feeder system. And
how
long? Paddy carried on for longer, didn't he, there as well? There was talk about him going. So you're not knocking Cage Warriors there, are you, at all?
No, not at all. They produce some fantastic
It's a hell of a standard. And, you know, yeah, okay, they have to get to a level, don't they? And UFC, it's the premier place, it's the elite place. But, yeah, it's just pricing, mate. It annoys me. It annoys me, the pricing, when they don't need to. Why hit the fans? Why hit the fans? They're making millions and billions out of TV deals, sponsorships.
There should be a level where, like, you know, I get front seats are going to be the most expensive.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you're still looking as you go up and up and up. There's still £300-400. And you're like, come on now. You mean we need to hit a level where, you know, you're looking at seats, okay, 100, 90, 80. You know what I mean? You need, as you're going up, you should be going down in price, not going, you know, staying relevant to middle floor or, you know, I feel the same.
I was lower tier in 2010 at 120 at the O2.
Right.
I think it was about 100, about 115 a ticket with the fees at the time. But they were good seats, Chris. I was in the lower tier, quite high up, but a great view because you're looking over the top of the cage, if you like, almost.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're not going to get tickets for that.
No.
It's just not
gonna happen. When I went to Manchester for, before Bisping got injured, it was meant to be him versus Munoz and ended up being Machida versus Munoz. I think our tickets were like 60 quid, maybe just a bit more.
Yeah,
but you couldn't get it. You couldn't get a ticket. You couldn't go watch a band for 60 quid anymore. Everything's just ridiculously priced.
Well, you know, that's to do with streaming, isn't it? Because they're looking to make money from the other. You know, they're heavily reliant now on merch and ticket sales, aren't they? But it's gone mad, mate. It's gone crazy. But Chris, before we go, just where the viewers and listeners can find you on the socials. And yeah, just give us some info, man.
Oh, info, bloody hell.
Info.
My name's Chris. you'll find me on Van Hume on X, because you can't call it Twitter anymore, Stuart. Don't forget. X now.
I'm still stuck in that though. I still call
it. I know it's a
Twitter, but then people say Twitter X, don't they? That's how they refer to it.
I just call it Twitter, innit? Because it comes out the mouth easier. Yeah. So it's Van Hume on Twitter, and then you'll find me the same name on Instagram. Big Fight Weekly for me and Stuart all over the social network. So you have to write Big Fight Weekly. Big Fight Weekly on all social medias, YouTube, Spotify. Apple, we're all there. All our past, present, and future episodes will be everywhere.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. This has been episode 70 of Big Fight Weekly, episode 167 of Stu's Wrestling Podcast. Simulcast today. So we've gone across the board on the lives here. And I did have it down as episode 106.77, so I was nearly up there with Joe Rogan. I think he's.
I did see that. I did see
I managed to amend it. I thought I'm on a par with Rogan. Then I thought Rogan's done about 3,000 episodes now,
and counting.
Yeah, and that's not including the other stuff he does, because obviously he's got
Fight Companion,
different shows, hasn't he? How well he's done.
Man of everything, wisdom, fight knowledge,
covering other topics, just covering the whole. A whole gamut of topics, like coming away from MMA. You know, he's had the boxers on, hasn't he? But it's just everything. It's supernatural.
Eddie Bravo's conspiracies.
That Ash Dykes, who's local to here, that does all the exploring and goes also all these weird and wonderful places. I remember him having him on. But yeah, thank you very much, Chris, for coming on, man. And like we said at the end of last year, we said we will do more episodes than we did in 2023, won't we? Because
there's a lot going on.
There's a lot
big
going
fights
on.
This year. Lots of big fights this year.
Absolutely. And we love it. We absolutely love that. So take care, everybody. We will see you soon for episode 71. And it'll probably be during Fury Usyk, which is coming up next month.
Yes. To the next one.
Take care, everybody.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.